friends. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. Glad you could join us this week. I trust that you have been enjoying the blog, The Traditional Naturopath. That blog is at our website, traditionalnaturopath.com. I know a lot of you get the podcast through iTunes and other podcast networks and things of that nature. But I would encourage you to go directly to the blog because we do have a lot of information there that I think you'll find really interesting. And I recently added a little feature to it that I think will be really informative for a lot of you, and that is over in the upper right-hand corner, I've got a recommended reading button. If you click on that, you'll actually get a list of books that I could recommend to you for all kinds of interesting things regarding natural health, and I encourage you to check that out. Again, just go to the blog, traditionalnaturopath.com, click on the recommended reading link, and you'll get a list of books there, and they're all available. If you click right through, you can go ahead and order them, and really encourage you to do that. That'll really be helpful for us here on the podcast. Now, let's talk a little bit about the items that we have covered on the blog and begin where we left off with the last podcast. This particular item is the Inuit paradox and cardiovascular disease. Now, the Inuit people, which we would commonly call Eskimos, live up north, and they eat a traditional diet for their tribes of whale blubber, seal meat, very little fruits and vegetables. So you would think there would be very high in cardiovascular disease, because typically we recommend fruits and vegetables and cut down on the fat. And yet they eat a very high fat diet. Can't get much higher in fat than whale blubber. And yet they have very low cardiovascular disease. So why is that? What's going on there? Well, a recent study basically looked into this issue. And here is one of the things that they found out. One of the differences is that the traditional Inuit's diet is very high in omega-3 fats, while our Western diet, that is the typical American diet, is very low in omega-3 fats but high in omega-6 fats. Science has shown that the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 should be as close to a ratio of 1 to 1 and certainly more than 4 to 1. Inuits are about the only people to approach that 1-to-1 ratio, while we in the United States typically have about a 20-to-1 ratio. Ugh. And then there's some that are eating junk food that get up near a 50-to-1 ratio. A balanced omega-6 to omega-3 ratio promotes homeostasis, a non-inflammatory state in the body. And, of course, homeostasis is very familiar to naturopaths. That's something that we always talk about trying to achieve. And, basically, it is the body in balance with itself. There's been a lot of... I could digress in a lot of different directions here. There's been a lot of study and a lot of research that shows that internal physical inflammation in the body can lead to all kinds of disease. Now, disease, if we pronounce it that way, dis-ease, is the body not being at ease or the body not being at rest, not being balanced. And that's really all that disease is. Disease is not a natural state for the human body. The human body should be in homeostasis. It should be at rest with itself, should not be inflamed, should not be in an acidic state. And actually, studies have shown that an acidic state in the body is the perfect environment for cancer to exist. Yet if you can bring the body into a balanced state or even somewhat slightly alkaline state, it can actually prevent cancer from occurring. So it's very important to achieve homeostasis. And it turns out that there is a similar position of homeostasis when it comes to the balance between omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. And so that's what they found in doing the study of the Inuit people. Now, also they found that the foods that the Inuits were eating also has vitamin C. Now, where would you think Inuit people are getting vitamin C? Well, it turns out that whale skin and blubber has an essential collagen that forms the antioxidant vitamin. Therefore, the Inuit gets in their traditional diet gets more vitamin C than the average Westerner typically does. Now, that sounds pretty amazing when you think about it. You don't think about vitamin C being in whale blubber. But vitamin C is a critical component to good health. Now, there's a lot of people that have taken vitamin C supplements to ward off colds, and there have been mixed studies in that regard as to whether that's beneficial or not. I think vitamin C, matter of fact, I personally take vitamin C in, I'll say, fairly large quantities, and I find that it is very beneficial in warding off colds. Now, that's just me. That's anecdotal. But I believe that there is benefit there to be derived from vitamin C. All right, next item. This item is troubling to me. It falls into the category somewhat of natural health freedoms, and it's very troubling. California is set to outlaw supplements with higher than RDA levels. Now, I mentioned vitamin C. Dr. Linus Pauling was a pioneer of what we call orthomolecular nutrition, or basically large amounts of vitamin supplementation for beneficial effect. And I take 3 grams of vitamin C, which is very much over the RDA level, RDA being recommended daily allowance. Now, what you got to understand is the RDA level is really, they call it the recommended daily allowance, but really it's pretty much the minimum you need, the absolute minimum. And so what California is doing is basically saying that anything over that RDA level should be classified in the category of essentially a cancer-causing agent. Now, in fact, there are many vitamins and minerals that if you take over the RDA level will actually prevent cancer. But that's what's so troubling to me about this. They're trying to use the standard of the recommended daily allowance, the RDA, and saying that anything over that should be banned. That's going to prevent people from actually taking personal responsibility for their own health and using the vitamins and supplements that they want to use in the values they want to use it. Nobody should be able to tell you how much of something you take that is a food. And that's really what it boils down to. Vitamins and herbs, minerals, all these things are foods. So you should be in charge of what you are taking for your own personal health benefit. I don't think the government should get involved and try to tell us what we can and can't, should and shouldn't do with regard to eating food. So, there you go. I think it's a terrible precedent that they're getting involved in that. Next item, volcanic clay kills superbugs. Now, this one is amazing to me. It's just almost bizarre. And that is, some French volcanic clay apparently will kill 99% of the bacteria that causes MRSA. Now, that's methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or aureus. MRSA. It's basically been talked about all throughout the country as this terrible, terrible superbug that is resistant to antibiotics. And yet, this natural French volcanic clay kills 99% of the bacteria. Now, this is an article that I saw in Natural News. Researchers have discovered that this clay made from volcanic ash in France has powerful antibiotic properties and is capable of killing even antibiotic-resistant superbugs such as MRSA. It's fascinating, said researcher Shelley Hadle, a microbiologist at Arizona State University. Here we are bridging geology, microbiology, cell biology, year ago, I'd look at the clay and say, yeah, well, that's dirt. MRSA is an antibiotic-resistant variety of the common bacteria that causes staph infections. This makes it more likely to develop potentially fatal complications and can proceed untreated for longer and spreads more rapidly in institutional settings such as hospitals, prisons, and schools. Researchers added the volcanic clay called acrochor to cell colonies of MRSA and found that 99% of the colonies were eliminated within 24 hours. Wow. The clay also exhibited similar antibiotic effects against Salmonella, E. coli, and Beruli. Beruli is a flesh-eating relative of leprosy that causes disfigurement in children. Due to its prevalence in Africa, the World Health Organization has classified it an emerging public health threat. The researchers do not yet know what in the clay is responsible for its antibiotic properties. But, you know, it's funny that this was considered to be a folk remedy. That's why they began to look into it. And yet, turns out that the so-called folk remedy is more powerful than some of our most powerful antibiotics. That's just amazing. And yet, not surprising. Folk remedies may only have anecdotal evidence, but that anecdotal evidence has been compiled over years and years and years, and people generally know what works, and what they have at hand to use is what they use. So, fascinating stuff. Next item, olive extract protects against Alzheimer's. Now, again, I find it amazing that these simple extracts of natural foods are so powerful and so protective when it comes to these diseases that are just so horrific, you know, in terms of their effect. Alzheimer's is a terrible disease. It steals the memory, basically just steals the humanity from so many people. And yet here is a simple natural food extract of olives that is tremendously beneficial in protecting against Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's. And this is an article published in the Journal of the Agricultural and Food Chemistry. Researchers examined the effect of antioxidant chemical known as hydrotyrosol, which has been previously shown to be connected to health benefits of olive oil, such as the LDL bad cholesterol reduction and cancer prevention. In one test, the researchers added oxidative stressors to the brain cells of mice in a laboratory setting. These stressors, such as iron ions and nitric oxide donor, are damaging to cells because of their oxidizing effects. For some of the cells, researchers also added an olive extract rich in hydrotyrosol. I'm pronouncing that very badly, I'm sure. Among the cells to which the stressors were added, androcine triphosphate, ADP, was reduced by 40%. In the cells treated with olive extract, ATP was only reduced by 15%. The effect was achieved at hydrotyrosol concentrations as low as 0.01 milligrams per milliliter. Pretty amazing stuff. So, again, it goes to show the benefits of natural foods, natural vitamins, minerals, supplements that can be tremendously beneficial and tremendously helpful when it comes to maintaining your health and restoring your health. Now, I've had a lot of really interesting emails lately. I had several of people who are wanting to basically get into naturopathy. They're wondering where to study. I've mentioned before the school that I'm an alumnus of, which is Trinity College of Natural Health. I'd encourage you to check out their website at trinityschool.org. And they have a tremendous program, and you can do it basically through self-study and guided study from their classes with books and so forth that you can get through their resources, and I'd encourage you to check that out. Another good school, of course, is Clayton. Clayton is a tremendous school, but I'm partial to Trinity for a lot of reasons. One is that I already had a PhD in theology, and Trinity School is based on Christian principles, and that was just a good fit for me. So I'd encourage you to check these schools out. And those of you that are interested in getting into naturopathy, I encourage you in that regard. I would take a look at your local state, I guess we'll say restrictions, when it comes to naturopathic practice, because just because you get a degree, as I did, an MD, doesn't mean you can you know, put your MD on a business card and go out and actually begin to start seeing clients, because states have gotten very restrictive in what you can and can't do as a naturopath. And that goes back to, again, to our natural health freedoms. We need to protect our health freedoms, because as has happened in many states throughout the country, resource and access to natural health practitioners have been limited by law. And unfortunately, this could continue to happen, and we really need to guard against that. So I encourage you to get involved with local grassroots organizations that are there to protect your natural health freedoms. One such in North Carolina is the North Carolina Citizens for Healthcare Freedom, which is available at nchf.org. So if you're in North Carolina, look that organization up. There's a website that has all kinds of information, can be very helpful in providing you information about your rights in terms of natural health in North Carolina. So I'd encourage you to check that out. And remember, until next time, that you are the person most responsible for your personal health.